I want to speak this evening for the, I have what? Whole lots of time. 40 minutes if I need it. Wouldn't you love to hear a 40-minute sermon? Now, don't lie.
Amen.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll not give you one then. Since you're honest almost, we trust you are. I want to speak this evening on about everybody's favorite subject, worry. Because we use it so often. And I've got to give it a title so you know where I'm headed. And the topic, primarily, I feel I'm speaking to believers, born-again people, but there might be some that needs to be another dip of it. But the title will be, Why Pray When You Can Worry? Did you get that one? Why pray when you can worry? And it seems like I'm almost somewhat convinced that Christians are what we might call masochistic Christians. By a masochistic Christian, it means we love misery. Because a masochist loves to be tormented and loves all the bad things. And they want to hear the bad things. And so they just sit around and worry. Now, there's a difference between anxiety and worry. Now, all of us have both of those. And I'm trying this evening to encourage we that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ to do away with some of these worries because it affects your spirituality. We spend so much time concerned, worrying about things that we don't have time to pray as we should, read as we should, so we sit around and worry. Now, anxiety is over-concern about the unknown. I mean, you're sitting there on tension, and I study people all the time, quite a bit. And they probably look at me and study me, too. But some people, their feet's going like this, or their hands are like this, or I had an uncle. They about drove me wild. He had anxiety pains. He'd go sniffing and moving. And after a while, you watch him for a while, you found yourself almost doing this. And he would just load a bundle of nerves. Well, anxiety is over-concerned about something you don't know what it is. And I would dare say tonight, some of you are sitting there under tension, and you don't know why. Why am I tense? Let's see. I don't know, but I'm enjoying it. I hope you aren't. You're not supposed to. Now, worry is different. Worry is concerned about something you know what it is. It could be a paycheck, lack of a paycheck. It could be numerous things that we get in our mind and won't get it off of our mind seemingly. So I would call those people, so-called Christian, masochistic Christians. They just love worry. In fact, I'm almost convinced that having I pastored 17 years, did evangelistic work for, I don't know how many years, been doing it for 25, 30, 40 maybe years, and I've taught school in between a number of years too, and I find that so many times we're over-concerned, worry. And I'm almost convinced that if we took worry away from some people, they wouldn't have anything to get up for because they worry all the time. Now, I don't think that's scriptural. I don't think the Lord says, cast your cares upon me and we'll worry together. What does he tell us to do? He says, cast your concerns and your burdens upon me. Come to me, all your heavy laden and have burdens. He says, give them to me. And we say, I did that. Here, Lord. But I want this one back. I enjoy worrying about this one. And also I found out, most of our worries are due to overextending ourselves. That is, we overextend our bill, our money. And the present generation, I hope we don't have a severe recession or depression. They'll never make it. I mean, they start at the top and they want to work their way up. And that's not what the Lord wants us to be. The Lord wants us to live within our means and be prepared for emergencies. And then we won't have to be overly concerned, and then we won't have to burden the Lord with things. We should be talking to the Lord more about souls and our own soul and souls of our loved ones. But so many times we're burdened down with worries and cares of life that we don't have time to think about others around us. Now, don't raise your hands, but how many in here have a pet worry? Don't raise your hands. I know you got one. What are you really worrying about right now? Don't tell me, I don't want to hear it. I got my own. No, I tried to get rid of those. But what are you worried about right now? Let's see. There's this one, there's this one, there's this one. You might say, I got a whole lot of things. Pick out a pet one. And one author I read said this, in regards to believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, take that pet worry let go of it, turn it over to the Lord for 24 hours, and truly believe that He has it, it'll amaze you what He will do with it. But I don't think most of us can do that. We'll get up in the morning and say, I want it back. I'm enjoying that thing. Well, I'm going to give you some scripture. It's a command. The Lord tells us not to worry. What are we supposed to do with the commands of the Lord? Well, pick up, that's right. Or just pick out the ones we like and forget the others. Like we do the Ten Commandments. Pick out the ones we like, then the rest, forget about it. A command from God is meant to be obeyed. So turn with me to St. Matthew, the 6th chapter, and beginning at verse 25, eventually. I've got a thought here on worry I want to read to you before I get to the scripture and go on for the next umpteen minutes. Here's what this writer has to say in regards to worry. See if this fits into your category. He said, it is a truism that our worries are general about things, situations, and problems that have not happened and may never happen. Grab that one. I'll go back over. I like that one. It is a truism, in other words, it's the truth, that our worries are generally about things, situations, problems that have not happened and may never happen. But we take them to bed with us as worries. When we drag them around all day like a ball and chain, they become as real to us as if they were being enacted right before our eyes, as they surely are being enacted in our hearts and in our minds. In other words, most of the things we worry about or are overly concerned about, they never happen. How many times are you worried about losing your job? Well, that might happen once in a while. Or how many times you worried about this thing or that thing? And you stop and think, how many things I've worried about, have they actually happened? Well, no, but just in case, I was prepared. Well, we want to see what the Lord has to say about this in St. Matthew, the 6th chapter, beginning at verse 25. Now, the Lord is speaking here. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life. That doesn't mean that I'm going to go kill myself. That means don't be so concerned about the things of life, what ye shall eat. Now, I look in the mirror and I have no problems about what I've eaten because I've done a good job. I don't have that care. I think we go to Florida about 4.5 months of the year, and I think the big concern there about what you shall eat is which restaurant is it going to be. And we watch one van that loads up each about every 2-3 times a day. They don't like to cook in the dormitories there. And they'll load the van up. And I'm certain, I would say I was going to swear, but I don't do that. But I would affirm that when they get in there, that van just goes. And then when they come back after they've been to the buffets, I'm almost sure those tires are going to say, oh, please, get off me. I can't take it anymore. Well, I don't think the Lord expects us to go that route. He said, don't be so concerned about what you're going to eat. In other words, the Lord will take care of our needs, not our wants. And sometimes when the Lord doesn't take care of our wants, we say, well, the Lord doesn't like me. I prayed about it, and it didn't come to pass. It probably did, but not the way you wanted it. The Lord said to his believers, I will take care that you have food. Not always the delicacies, not every buffet you pass by, not every great meal that you can prepare. It might be chitlins, whatever that is, and it might be hominy grits, and it might be, but it's food. He says, oh, I don't like hominy grits. I don't like spinach. I don't like the salads. I don't like this. Well, if the Lord says, this is it, fella, take it. I said I would provide it, so you eat it. But we've become so spoiled in the United States. They would say, well, no. If the Lord is going to take care, He's going to take care of my food, I want it this way. I don't want hot dogs. I want a steak. And the Lord might be saying, here's your hot dog. I'm giving you food. But Lord, a steak. You said you'd give me, take care of my food. He will. But our needs, not always our wants. Don't be so concerned about what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Now, the Lord promises clothes. Now, going back, we first started out. I tried to live within my budget so I would not be so concerned about the here and now so much. Our first house was a four-room, I don't know if I can call it a house. It had four rooms. I think it was about 800 square feet. Two bedrooms, a kitchen, a living area, I think we called it that. It was a cement floor, and when it got warm out, I could play patty cake underneath the bed and slap water around. It gathered a lot of moisture. But I could afford that place. And the Lord, I felt, gave it to us. We had four rooms, a path, and a cesspool. We didn't have a sewer system. We didn't have a septic. But we had water. We had four rooms. Painted up, fixed it up, and I was thrilled to have it. Now, young people starting out that this way, they say, why would the Lord let somebody live in something like that? Because you said, the Lord said, I will take care of your needs. Not everything you want. Then as the Lord blessed us with more money, oh yes, also I got a whopping salary. If I start teaching at that point. I was pastor before that, teaching a pastor. And at that point, I was, I think, teaching somewhat and doing some evangelistic work around the area. And I got a whopping $2,800. Now, for that day and age, it wasn't even any good. And if I was willing to help coach basketball, they threw in $100. I thought, $100 for helping to teach? All right, I'll take it. Well, and I still believe if the Lord put me in that situation, and the Lord said, this is what I'm giving you, I think I could learn to be content with it. And I wouldn't have to worry. And I like that place because we could pay for it. It became ours. And I didn't have to be concerned about it. I could spend my mind and time on something else, taking care of the family, my job, and so forth, and becoming a better Christian, a father, and whatever else goes with that. He said, is not the body, the life more than meat and the body more than raw? He said, in other words, isn't living more than taking care of the body and clothes? He says, is that all that he's providing? Food and clothes and raiment, that's what we want? He said, that's not true and not the case. And many times our tastes are bigger than our pocketbooks. I don't know if you've run into that problem, but we have occasionally, but I still live within my budget. And I can't, for the life of me, figure out where I got all the money. And I'm not loaded. I'm not rich. But if we learn to live within what the Lord has given us, he can trust us with that. He will give us a little more. And we won't have to be so worrying and concerned about it that affects our spiritual. And besides, another little research information before I get back to Scripture. They find that over 70% of our physical problems are psychosomatic, which means it begins in the noggin. Which means we worry too much. Now, to say that I am a really born-again Christian, I love the Lord, and worry, get ulcers. And I would dare say there's a few of us here that's got ulcers. I would dare say, and they find that arthritis is involved with this. Any disease, you can mention it. They talk about some phase of cancer. Something, because a lot of us aren't claiming the promises that are in the Scriptures for us. Cast your cares upon the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean we can't do what we can do. We have to do our part. We do our part. God does his part. He won't give you everything you want. He'll take care of your needs, and as he can trust you with more, you can grow, and as you grow in grace. The main thing is that we learn to trust the Lord and grow in his spiritual grace, claim his promises, and let other people know that God still loves them as well as he loves us, and he's taking care of our needs. Not always our wants. Once in a while, the wants are tossed in there as a bonus. Then the Lord said to those listening to us, he says, all right, and he says, behold the fowls of the air. For they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Have you ever seen a crow flying around with a knapsack? Got a bag around its neck flying around in the cornfields? We've got a bird feeder in our backyard. I've never seen the sparrows or the starlings. We got some crows that land there. A lot of them are morning doves, and they come out and kick the food around because it's too good for them. But I've never seen one come in with an extra knapsack or a little bag or something to carry their food in. The Lord takes care of the birds. Now, the Lord is saying to his followers, he says, I take care of the birds. He might use me, he might be using you, but he takes care of his own. So he said, behold the fowls, the birds of the air. They don't sow. They don't go out and harvest, throw seed around. Neither do they reap. They don't go out with a thrasher. I've never seen one with a thrasher. I've never seen a mule with a thrasher unless somebody's making them haul it. I've never seen a dog go out and say, it's time to eat. Where's the thrashing machine? I'm going to go out in the field and thresh me some bones. They don't have bones out there anyway. Just in case you thought they did have, they don't have. Unless the dog's buried in there. And he said, your heavenly Father feedeth them. Aren't you more important than the birds? You are. So he's trying to get across, you, my people, are more important than animals, birds, clothes, or anything else. I will take care of you if you can learn to trust me, follow me, and grow in grace. I wondered this night, this evening, how many of us are up the road spiritually better than they were 10 years ago. You're closer to the Lord. You're reading the scriptures more. You're praying more than you were 10 years ago. Don't raise your hand. Raise it in on the inside. I don't want to embarrass us. And I don't want to make liars of us either. How many of you really feel that spiritually you are closer to the Lord than you've ever been before? And if I ask for a raise of hand, could you do it? Don't do it. Could you really do it? And this is what the Lord wants us to do, to grow in his graces. And not to worry and be so concerned. Not to bind ourselves up in such a situation, getting involved in indebtedness and problems with the neighbors and problems here. That's why he said we're supposed to love our neighbors. Well, you never lived next to the person I live next to. Why are they something else? Why I couldn't, and the Lord doesn't want to hear it. He says, talk to me about them. We can smooth this out together. So going back to this, I take care of the birds. You're better than the birds. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? In other words, can you add anything to your height? Now, a cubit is 18 inches. And when I was going to school, I could use those extra 18 inches. I played basketball. I was about 5'8", 5'9". You know, I said those tall dudes are bouncing all over you. But the Lord says, to him, that's a small thing. He says, if I want, I could add 18 inches to your height. As long as he doesn't go this way, I can do that on my own. The height part I can't work with. But the Lord said, that's a small thing to me. I could add 18 inches to a person's height and there's no, any problem whatsoever. You can't do it. I can't do it. God says, I could if it's necessary. And then, why take ye thought for raiment or clothes? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. I like flowers. And my first job was working in a greenhouse. I love the smell of lilies being around her. I've yet, and all the time I've taken care of them, watered them, and so forth, I've never seen one of them talking to the other. And if they did, I've got problems. But I never saw one lily comparing itself with another lily and saying, I like your clothes better than mine. We have a peer pressure thing here now, so I'm going to have to go out and check with this fellow that's working this over and get me a different color than the color I've got. I'm tired of white. To me, a lily is probably one of the most beautiful flowers, and I love the fragrance. It's fresh and clean. And the Lord says, I provide clothes for the lily. And I can take care of your clothes, but you said, but I have to have designer clothes. Lord says, forget it, get your own. If I was the Lord, that's what I'd say. Lord says, I'll take care of your needs. I used to like the Kmart Blue Light specials. They quit that because I think I was going there too much. Maybe I'm part of the problem. But I liked when I had those. We go on to Florida. We wait for the Kmart, this one place. I won't say that, but I already did. But we go wait till certain sales are on. Now, it doesn't bother me to go to a sale. You can catch me there. I don't care. If I can get a bargain, I'll get one. In fact, the other day I got a $15 shirt for $3. It was right in my price range. And I thought, oh, right, I'll take it. Why? I could use that. It's a lightweight. It was short. And it's about my, well, it was stay my size if I'll stay within my size. And I, for $3, I said, can't afford not to. I could say, no, I'll wait until the price goes up. I want it at $15. So when someone says, what did you pay for that shirt? I'll say, $15. And someone sees the same shirt on me and asks me, how much you pay for it? I'll say, $3. Because I paid $3. I like to save. So the Lord said, consider the lilies, the flowers. I take care of them. Then he says, and I say unto you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like or dressed up like one of these lilies. Solomon was the richest man that ever lived. And if we could not probably compute the money that he would have in our day, in our money today, he had so much money. But he can only put so much clothes on. And the Lord said, Christ said, he says, Solomon, with all the money he had, he never looked any better than how I simply touched the lily and put clothes on it and took care of it. And if I was the Lord saying, you guys, you worry about all those things, I'm going to take care of your needs. Now, some of you have hypertension. They find it's good for hypertension. It's good for ulcers, good for heart attacks, to not worry so much. As I said before, this one writer says, take one of your worries, really turn it over and trust the Lord for 24 hours and see what he can do with this. I was reading a book by John Hagee, and he wrote the book, How to Win Over Worry. And he relates in here about, it's about a couple mules, or about a mule. And he said this mule, how anxiety and worry can affect a person. He said this mule was out in the field. And he had a stack of hay on one side and a stack of hay on the other side. And this mule began to worry. He looked at this stack. Oh, I like that. Then he looked over to the one on this side. Oh, I like that stack of hay. But I think I like that one a little better. It has a little better color. If a mule could talk, he couldn't talk. And so he looked at this. And then he looked at this other stack. Then he began to worry. Oh, which one am I going to pick out? And according to the story, he starved to death trying to make a decision. And that's the way our worries go. We get ourselves in such a mess trying to make a decision that the Lord wants to help us make that decision. I'm trying more and more, whether it's to buy something, to move, or whatever it is, to consult the Lord. Do you know you can talk to the Lord any time of the day or night? You don't always have to say, well, listen, church time's a good time. It's a good time. Or before you go to bed, anytime there's a need, anything I've got a decision, I'll say more or less within myself. You don't have to say verbally. I don't get down on my knees in the middle of the street and say, now, Lord, I'm going into this store, and if there's a shirt on sale, you let me know if I can buy it or not. Go through the process. Lord, can I afford this? Lord, will this put me in a bind financially? And if you get the peace over it, go ahead and buy it. Don't be like that mule. Now going on. The Lord said this to them and to us. Where if God so clothe the grass of the field, which is today, tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? And I wonder just how much true faith we have. I'm talking to myself. That's one thing. When I study this stuff, I preach it to me. And if I don't like certain things, I still listen to what I've got to read there. And that's one thing we need to do more is to get into the scriptures. You've heard preachers say this for years. Read the Bible. Read your scriptures. It works because there are so many promises in here that we aren't claiming. I'm not talking about the Old Testament. That's pretty much for the Jews. But the New Testament, because we are inverted or we are engrafted Jews. You're a Jew whether you want to be or not, if you accept the Lord Jesus Christ. You're a part of the promises of the New Testament. And there are so many promises. If you do this, I will do this. If you do this, I will do this. And if we just get closer to the Lord and listen to him, we won't have to be worrying and fretting and stewing and going to the doctor. Now, the doctor wants you to do that. He loves collecting my money. He loves collecting your money. But I'm not going to let him. Presently, I'm not taking any kind of medication. I'm working to keep my weight down. I'm checking my food over. And if it says this is no good for you, although I do digress once in a while, one of those big, thick hamburgers. I'm not a big meat eater. But once in a while, they quit advertising. They get to you. They never get to you, probably. But they see one of those big, thick hamburgers, and they say, two patties, two cheese, all this gunk inside, 99 cents. I says, my price range. Yield not to temptation, because it could be fattening. But once in a while, you could digress. I'm not saying, but I think we need to take care of ourselves physically, emotionally, and spiritually, so that we can be effective for the kingdom and quit our worrying and fretting and stewing. Work out our budget with the Lord. Whatever your activities, work out our family life with the Lord. Your kids, your neighbors. Either that or the Bible's an awful lot of lies in there. The Lord gives us a directory how we can operate our lives and enjoy being here. And if we enjoy being here, just think what it might be like in heaven yet. But we've got to follow His instructions. But I want to give you some things wrong with worrying, for one thing. It's a bad habit. For one thing, you say, well, I don't smoke, I don't drink, I don't do this. But worrying is just about as bad. It tears you down. Worry comes from the Greek word meaneo. Aren't you glad I tossed that Greek word around? I took a class in Greek, and I got to toss the word around once in a while to let you know that, or at least justify taking the class. I didn't want to, but I had to have the language, and so I got it. It simply means to split the mind, to divide the mind. Anytime your mind is divided and thinking on something else, it takes us away from what we should be concentrating on, the Lord Jesus Christ and our spiritual growth. So if I'm busy worrying, I'm not praying and reading the way I should. I'm sure you've done like I have sometimes. You say, well, I've got to read some scripture today. So you're reading it, and you got to get through. You say, all right, I got a chapter down. Well, what did I read? Go back, say, and the next day you might pick it up and read the same stuff and say, oh, okay. You could do that 2 or 3 times in a day, or a week, or maybe day after day, and not realize you've been reading the same stuff, but it's not sinking in. Just like kids at school. You're having a test tomorrow. Okay. Test time comes. We got a test today? You didn't tell us. We're just like that with the Lord. The Lord said, I did tell you in the Word. If you concentrate on the Word you're reading, I told you what was going to be taking place. I told you how I could have helped you. That's why the Word of God is so important, and our prayer life is desperately important. Or we'll pick up this habit and continue the habit of worry. Worry, worry. Then what else did the Lord learn? Therefore, He said in verse 31, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? That doesn't mean say, oh, good, I can go down and apply for food stamps and be lazy. They didn't say that at all. Don't worry about it. If you need them, He says, I'll see that you get them. If for a physical reason, if you have a need, He says, I will see that you get these things. But He says, don't sit around taking so much thought about these things. What we shall eat. Well, we probably talk about, you probably say, well, what do you want for lunch? Well, we're not talking about that, because we know you eat lunch, we know you eat breakfast, and now I can't get used to that. To me, lunch is dinner, and dinner is supper. But if you're elite, you get confused, and so when somebody says, will you come over for dinner? I say, you mean noon or night? I'll come over both times, you aren't sure. If they don't, they'll make up their mind, I'll help them with that. Don't give so much thought to what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed, now shall I buy this? He says, don't do that. I will take care of you. If you get close to me, we will take care of these situations together. I hope I'm sinking, some of the stuff is sinking. It shouldn't really be new. But I want us to quit our worrying and having the anxiety pangs and going into maybe our mind is blanks out because of anxiety over concern about things we're worrying about that will probably never happen anyway. It takes us away from the spiritual. Our depths aren't there in the Lord Jesus Christ that they should be. And that's what He wants. For He says, after all, aren't the things that the Gentiles do? Don't the Jews or unbelievers seek after those things? For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be taken care of and to be added to your life. Well, what can I do then? What should I do? Here's some helps. First, you got to recognize you got the problem. Recognize that you are a warrior. Okay? Yeah, okay, I'm a warrior. Now what do I do? Then try to, and recognize also that it's wrong and it's, you can almost call it sin, because the Lord said, don't do this. Don't worry. Don't be concerned. And if we go ahead and do it anyway, it's wrong. And we could classify it really as sin. Recognize that you have the problem and that it's wrong. It's against God. And recognize also that you are the only one that can change it with the help of the Lord. You and the Lord can work it out, but He can't do it. If you won't do your part, if you aren't willing to get involved, you can't do it. God won't do it for you. He said, you got to do it. He'll work it out with you. But you are the one that has to open up your mind and be willing to let the Lord help you. Stop making excuses for it and blaming other people. Well, if it wasn't for the kids I had, I wouldn't have to worry so much. If it wasn't for this guy I worked for, it wasn't for this. Don't make excuses for it. If you're worrying about it, you and the Lord work it out. I guarantee you it will be worked out if you can have the trust and the faith and believe the Lord and make yourself, allow yourselves to be open. It'll work. Physically, you'll feel better. Spiritually, you'll feel better. But you've got to work with it. And by all means, increase your prayer life and your believing. You have to do this. Well, I don't feel like praying. I don't. If you went by feelings, you'd probably be in bed all day long. Do you ever get them wake up in the morning and say, I don't really feel like getting up? And you call the boss and say from the bed, you call him and say, boss, I don't feel like getting up today. And the boss might say, and I don't feel like keeping you on the staff. Adios. We can't go by feeling. I don't feel like praying more. You know the best time to pray is when you feel like you can't pray. That's the time to pray the hardest, when you don't feel like you can pray at all. Pray anyway. And here's some scriptures, references that might help you. I'm not going to read them all because we'd be here longer, and I've said quite a bit already, I think. Mark 11, 22 through 24 involves our faith. How to increase that. Mark 11, 22 through 24. That's to increase your faith. Read it. Work at it. Another one. Philippians 4, 4 through 7. Philippians 4, 4 through 7. A couple of references, and I know you'll probably rush right out the door and say, oh, I've got to get home and read this. And I say, I don't feel like it. Well, what do you say about feeling? Don't do it. If you don't feel like it, do it anyhow. What we're trying to do is get us to grow spiritually, get closer to the Lord than you were 10 years ago. We should be that much closer. Don't keep taking the worrisome problem back. Read good Christian literature. If you can find it, you can have to look around, but it's there. Read good Christian literature. Your mind has an effect on the whole system. It either helps you to make you better or worse, or give you something to worry about. Like some of these dope soap operas. I keep calling them dope operas, but that's what they are. Dopey operas on TV. Oh, is so-and-so going to marry this person for the 10th time? Oh, so-and-so, oh, they're in bed with that person. Oh, I'm going to worry tomorrow. Oh, is she going to have a baby tomorrow? And the people are worrying over that. Is that the biggest problem the world's got? Is that the biggest problem the church world has? Don't get taken up in that stuff. The Bible tells us each day's got enough problems for itself. Don't worry about somebody else's and what's going to happen tomorrow even. I'll try to close with this. I always like when preachers say that and they mean it. That's why I say try, because something else might come. But I'll try to stop. A simple way to give God His chance is to take this very day, as I was telling you about before, one of your greatest worries or problems, and give it over to Him. This is a closing thought almost. A simple way to give God His chance is to take this very day. Well, today's printer over. I can't have an excuse. That day's all over. I can't do it. I'll wait tomorrow maybe, or the next day. Tomorrow's wash day. We can't take this. No. Don't make excuses. Get with it. The greatest worries or problems, and give it over to Him. Try Him with it for 24 hours. The promise of God depends upon that. Well, are you a real believer? Well, yeah. I guess I am. I'm better than so-and-so that's sitting around here near to me. Don't be concerned about that. Do you want to get to know the Lord better and to feel better emotionally and spiritually and physically? Claim the promises of God. God's got a diet in here for you. How to eat. Remember Daniel? All he ate was vegetable and so forth. And those who ate at the king's table had meat and everything else, and they looked so much healthier. The Bible tells us how to eat, how to sleep, how to work. It's just so many things there. Closing. That was just almost closing. This is closing. Isaiah 26:3. Thou wilt keep him or her in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. You want perfect peace? That's the way to get it. Isaiah 26:3. Thou wilt keep him or her in perfect peace whose mind, the thought processes, is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. I'm trusting you, God. And God says, and I trust you. And we're going to work this out. But don't get yourself in another mess. Because most of our problems and worries are because we've overextended ourselves. And we got ourselves in a mess. And sometimes God just lets us stew there for a while. So we won't do it again. But some of us never learn. Well, are you a worrier? Stop it. I know we're bound to be overconcerned in some things. But when you find it coming, talk it over with the Lord and say, Lord, let's work this out. I want to be a more effective Christian. I want to enjoy life here and now, besides heaven. And let's stand.